Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 16, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
For January 30th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, aka Count Jacula, courtesy of So Much Floof, at So Much Floof on Twitter, and I am joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
That's right, it's your boy Miles P, D-Block, what up? Thank you for the Styles P reference, a.k.a. to the late, well, not the late, the currently great Jose Antonio Reyes. I say late because his name is the same as a former Arsenal player, Jose Antonio Reyes, number 9. Shout out to you. Anyway, thank you for the a.k.a. And it's getting long-winded. See ya!
And Miles just ran out of the building. And we're thrilled to be joined by one of the all-time great podcast guests, just a hilarious comedian, Daniel Van Kerr.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, man.
How are you?
I'm good. I only speak in radio voice now.
Well, that's great. We can do the whole show like this.
I bet we can. I have a litter here.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm glad to be back.
Hey, man. It's great to have you back. What is something from your recent search history that is revealing about you?
What does a dead body smell like?
Now,
you never smelled the dead body before?
No. Mm. Not one that where you're picking it up, but just your nose.
Right.
I haven't seen my neighbor in over a month.
Mm.
So I've started to wonder. Yeah. Mm.
That's born out of that?
I left. The last time I saw her was before I left to go home for the holidays, so it's been over a month.
And
her car has not moved. There's never been any activity.
The car's like dusty, too.
Yep.
Like, have you knocked on the door?
Nope.
Just like sniffed under the door?
No.
Kinda, no.
I'm waiting to find out what a dead body.
You put a couple straws under the door and like with the bendy straw, you're like
she
like
lives
door snorkel.
By herself. She's never had any guests. She's not elderly, but she's not a young person.
Damn, I would call them. Don't just be Googling, like, what does a dead body smell like? I think I know you to be.
It turned
a
out that I just needed to throw away my bacon. But,
yeah.
But I was like, what if this is what I'm smelling?
Yeah. Mm.
Because I was gone for a week and I got home
mm-hmm.
and I just needed to find out which was which.
But you're not going to verify through your landlord or anything if she's okay?
I don't know if I want to get involved.
I guess at this point, it's probably just a dead body, right? It's not like you're going to save.
My hope is that she's on a very long vacation.
She probably is.
I also haven't, because I've been gone so much,
so
I haven't seen my building
know.
Manager.
Yeah.
So as soon as I do, I will ask them, hey, is she on a trip?
Right.
And if they're like, no, I'm like, well, she's not going to work.
Right.
Mm. So she got fired.
Or she won lotto or something.
Yeah.
I said, fuck
it. That could be it.
It's like, I'm leaving this old shit behind.
Just straight left it all.
In my mind, because I don't want to believe that you're residing next to a decomposing body.
I don't either.
She's in Bora Bora right now, living her best life.
I feel like she's gone on a trip.
Okay.
But it is weird because this person is clockwork with when her car would be gone. When she would
Dan,
leave.
This is getting so...
Dan
I'm
is
starting
very
to worry.
Attentive
I'm
towards
starting
his
to
neighbors.
Worry, but I'm starting to worry
well,
about
this
person's
our parking spots
safety.
Are next to each other, and our apartments are next to
right.
each other. So we see each other a
what
lot.
What about the neighbor on the other side of her?
Mm-hmm.
Because you live like kind of on the corner, right?
Right, yeah.
So who is next to her? Have you talked to that neighbor and be
no,
like, yo,
I've been
good?
Gone so much.
Okay.
But every time I've been back, not moved. And
maybe your vacations
films.
Are just like staggered completely so that
she
when you
take
go.
Vacation.
Oh, okay.
Well, it seems like you're finding every reason to believe that she's dead inside her apartment.
Or on a very long trip.
Very long trip.
Okay.
Or like Robert De Niro in Heat, she just kind of left everything.
But she's like a little bit of a recluse.
Moment's notice.
Like right, she right. has a weird like sheet that she's hung up so she can have her door open and you can't see into her place.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of does the same with her windows. She's very, you know, she
very
like
private.
Leaves notes when she does in the laundry room. She's like, dude, please do not take my stuff out of the washer if I don't come back.
Right.
Come get me. Like, if somebody's in the laundry room, she'll, like, won't go in there.
Mm.
She's just very mousy.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And now she's...
Now she's ghosted.
Yeah.
Maybe quite literally.
Like, quite.
Oh, no.
I hope not. Look.
Me
yeah.
too. None of
Fingers
us are hoping.
No, this. Yeah. No one of us are, but I'm getting
my
worried.
My hope is that she's
I think
on a great
after this
trip.
Recording, we just need to go.
Yeah, we're
going to your
I'm sorry.
Building and fucking...
Kick the fucking door down.
Yeah.
We're going to smoke that door. We're like, smoke the door. Bow. Get in there.
Oh, okay.
And if it looks like the sloth move from 7 with all the air fresheners hanging from the ceiling, I'm going to be very upset.
Can we yell breach when we do it?
Yeah,
that's what you're supposed
breaching.
To do.
Breaching? Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Great.
What's something you think is overrated?
This has probably been
hit a lot.
You're going
to say being on this podcast?
No.
Oh.
Trump news and outrage that does not matter. Like spending time getting upset about something or talking about something that either like it's only news because you don't like him or it does not matter. Like, for example, remember fake Melania?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it might even been back when I was here.
Yeah,
we talked about that.
Yeah.
But no one cares.
Right.
That's not actually
like, not a story.
Spend that in a news day. Right. Or like, but the more recent one is they came out with yesterday, they came out with like how much her trips back and forth were costing American taxpayers before she moved out of New York. Yeah.
Yeah.
And nobody cares.
Right.
That's like when 5 years ago when they would say how much Barack is costing us for his trips or golf or whatever, which now seems laughable. But it would be like, yeah, that's only news to you because you don't like Barack Obama. Who cares?
Right.
Right. It's just saying, burning calories.
Well, I think that's
Yeah. Yeah. And we like, we need to conserve our outrage.
Right.
Like they did the thing of the State of the Union. Some of the tickets were State of the Union, whatever.
And that was a big,
right. And it's like, oh, that's his president. He's like, no, that's just a typo. And
just some idiot. That's not like Trump was like, all right, how do you spell this?
Right. Yeah. And you're running that up the pole because you hate the guy. Grant, I hate the dude too, but let's save our energy for when we really need it.
Yeah.
So it's like, just overrated.
Which is kind of like right now, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah. No, I completely.
But I totally, but I guess it's one of those things, right? Because for so long, you know, Obama was just fucking dragged constantly. He spent this much on this. He's been doing it. And then, I guess
and
now.
How, and did you care?
No, I didn't.
Because you liked
I think
him.
Now the journalists, I don't even care that, you know,
that,
it doesn't matter. Like what, you know, spend $24 million on a refrigerator. That honestly doesn't affect my day to day life. It's just a total horrible misuse of tax money.
Agreed.
But like, I think it's just the way for now people. On the other side, be like, you see, where's that outrage now? But like, we've all noticed these, like, people on the right do not care.
Right.
They will contradict themselves at every fucking moment as long as it benefits whatever reality they
like
want to operate
in. If you're still on board with Trump by this point, me pointing out to you how much money was wasted by Melania flying is not going to make you go, you know what? I think I'm done now.
That's it. Fuck it. He misspelled union?
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah. I wanted a white supremacist that could spell.
Good luck.
That's right. Daniel, what's something that you think is underrated?
My thing that's underrated, have you ever been to Earl of Sandwich?
Earl Sandwich?
Earl of Sandwich.
Earl of Sandwich.
They're sparsely around this country.
I've heard. Wait, isn't that in Vegas?
There is one in Vegas, too.
I know
other ones
definitely,
as well.
I've stopped by there.
I think there's
in
one
Vegas.
Here in L.A. It might be at one of those.
I know. I think I've seen the first one when I was in East Vegas once.
They have a Thanksgiving Day sandwich that is the greatest sandwich I've ever eaten.
Really?
Yes. More people need to get on this.
Have you? Okay. Now, have you been to Capriati's?
Is it? They have a Thanksgiving Day sandwich show? Wait, yes. Is that the one here on the west side?
The Bobby?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is very, very good as well.
So how does that compare to the Bobby? Because I guess let's
it's
tell
been
people
a while
what it
since
is.
I had the Bobby.
So the Capriati's.
Yes.
It is their roasted turkey that is sliced. It's like pulled. It's like shredded turkey almost, and it's delicious.
Yeah.
And then it's stuffing, and then cranberry sauce, and I think mayonnaise or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, their roasted turkey is so good is what sets their thing apart. So is it the same sort of similar ingredients?
No, I think it's shittier, which to me makes it better.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm. It's just so good.
I'm looking at it. It looks like they go heavy on the stuff. Stuffing, which I think is
they do
at the Earl of Sandwich.
Earl of Sandwich.
It's a and it's perfectly microwaved. It is very good.
Mm.
Okay,
it is very very good.
Like microwaved in one of those ones that keeps it crispy, like Quiznos, or microwaved in like
that's
a Subway.
That's a
microwave. I don't know. I just assume that they aren't.
The Quiznos one is just
it's like that roller
toaster
roller,
the gauntlet as we used to call it back in the day when we was at the queue.
I mean, you guys have done Potbellies, right?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah, D.C., right?
That's what they're known for, too. They started in the Midwest. And now
they're
all
Chicago,
there.
Shout out to the homegirl, Andrea. She used to work out at Potbellies in high school.
That stuff, they used to have one at Midway Airport.
They
now
do
they
their
don't.
Bread. Exactly,
exactly
right.
Exactly right. Yeah, that sandwich, though, is my – and if I'm in Vegas, that's my go-to. Let's just get something quick and good, and we'll spend our money elsewhere in the city.
Beautiful. I had Capriati's for the first time when I was in Vegas, when I was working on Harry Reid's Senate race.
Oh, really?
Yep.
How'd that go?
Oh, fine. We had to beat a Tea Party candidate, Sharon Angle, at the time.
Mm.
Very tumultuous campaign, because that was like the beginning of the Tea Party.
Right.
But we got her.
Yeah. You framed her.
We did. We kind of did. Yeah.
So, Daniel, let's get into format. We're trying to take a sample of what people are thinking and talking about right now. And we like to open up by asking our guest, what is something that people believe to be true that you know to be false?
It is not true that tipping for advantage makes you a douche.
Tipping for advantage.
So we're all used to tipping at
bars.
Yeah, bars, restaurants, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But for example, because I was recently in Vegas, That industry is built on that. So it feels douchey that you shouldn't, or that it's bad to, at your hotel when you check in, say, hey, if you've got anything extra, here's a little money. Mm-hmm. It's so much part of that industry, and at any hotel really, that what I do is I take $20 or $50, depending on how long I'll be there.
Whoa, okay. And you just money say, bags, Van Kirk.
No, you just say, if you have any upgrades, I'd be happy to take care of you. Now, if they don't have upgrades, you are good.
You say, so
if you have any upgrades,
I'm going to take care of you.
Yes. Now, if they say, oh, I'm sorry, we don't have anything,
then you then slide you that shit back. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You're not just.
Oh, so you're just waving it.
You set it.
Well, you never do the thing where you like hand casinos, it off and like, if there's an upgrade.
No, at most casinos, they want you to set it on the table because the camera picks it up. They're allowed to do that. That's their discretion.
Right, right, right.
So, and to me, just saying to somebody, hey, we'd love to sit by a window if we can and throw them $10 when you go to the restaurant.
Right.
You're literally ensuring good service, prompt service, which is tips, you know, to ensure prompt service. It's just a way that most people think that feels douchey. And
yeah.
To me, that's a myth. It isn't. If the person says, oh, I'm really sorry, I can't take it, we don't have anything by the window, or I'm really sorry, we don't have any sweets or anything I could offer you, you go, okay, thank you, no problem at all.
Yeah.
But if you did, I would be happy to say thank you in the form of a cash tip for you.
Wow. Yeah. I just straight up ask for that shit.
I'll
check in. I'd be like, yo, have you seen my cloud score? I will fuck.
Do you know how many Twitter followers
I will fuck this casino up on social media.
Every casino I've been to, I've been upgraded. Every
you know
single
what's
time.
Funny?
I
every use, time you use
every
that
Every single time, yes.
Or just because you're...
You know what you do?
You've got that magnetism.
In Vegas, you use Hotel Tonight, and you check in a hotel like when you need the room, like at 9 at night.
Mm-hmm.
I have gotten a suite every time I do that.
Because what they have left?
Yeah, because you come in late, and they're like, hey, like we got a suite. Like we couldn't get a regular room. I'm like, that is great. thank you. And I even have to shamefully ask or do my threatening of social media violence.
I just feel like I would... practice it, be going in very confident,
yeah.
Like, hey, if you have any upgrades, I'd be happy to take care of you.
Right.
And then I would not be able to make eye contact while doing that.
I know.
And I would just be like, you have upgrades, you
I
know?
I promise you, Jack.
Like you're buying fucking drugs
right,
or something.
Exactly. You're right. You're exactly right. That would be the first time.
Right.
But the second time, you'd be like, oh, wow, this is very, like I said to the woman, like the second time I did it, I was like, I'd be happy to take care of it. And I like set the money under my ID. And she's like, oh, no, just put it out there. We were allowed to do this. They should actually know that we
got
tipped.
This isn't shady. Yeah.
That's the thing. There's no shadiness to it at all.
Yeah, because you can give people poker chips. You can give them chips anywhere for anything.
Yeah.
It's real money. Yeah, it's all good. It's funny, Jack, like thinking of you doing that because I know how much of like an upstanding dude you are. Like I remember, when we first started doing the show, we were going on Uber and his score was going down. He's like, damn. He's like, I got to get my fucking like Lyft or Uber score up. He's like, I don't know what to do. And he was like going extra trying to be friendly.
Yeah. And so, that was hurting me. I was like trying too hard.
Hey man, how you doing?
All right.
You pull over up here. Can you get out just so I can give you a hug?
Yeah. Right. So I was trying to see him grease the wheels at a counter. I would pay to see that.
Yeah, yo, we're going past the gas station. Yeah. Pull over. Let me get you. I'll fill you up.
They would just do it because you got good karma, Jack. You don't have to grease the wheels.
I was known as an intention tremor where my hands like shake if I think about it, like, or if I'm like trying to put a key into a keyhole. It's like a hereditary thing. My dad had it. His dad had it. But I feel like that would somehow fuck me where like they'd look down at the money and my hand would be trembling. And
yeah,
they'd
just
be like,
whoa.
Are you like, are you a narc or something?
Hey, security. Yeah. Can you get this man the fuck out of here?
All right. Let's get into the stories of the day. One of my favorite people to talk about is the creator of Dilbert, because it's just my favorite comic in the world. No, it's because so this dude is just really weird. He's kind of the first guy to identify and start the talking point that Trump is playing three-dimensional chess.
This is the creator of Dilbert?
The creator of Dilbert. He's a 60-year-old man named Scott Adams.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you mentioned him when you're talking about Roger Stone and how he also likes to have his shirt off all the time.
Right, yeah,
he's an old
dude who likes to show off his, like, he's got, like, you know, you can tell he benches a lot.
Right,
he does a lot of chess days with nothing else.
Yep.
And he noticed during one of Trump's debates that he was a fellow master wizard, which is Adam's term for experts in hypnosis and persuasion. And he was like, game recognized game.
Sure.
He was using persuasion 101 techniques such as anchors. And, he was one of the first people to say he's playing three-dimensional chess against opponents in the media. Mm. So this Bloomberg reporter went and interviewed him at his house. His house is shaped like Dilbert's head.
No.
It is.
He's on brand.
Right. Yeah. In his kitchen, he has installed 3 microwaves, quote, so he can make a lot of popcorn at once. That is so confusing to me.
This is what happens when, like, you could end up living in a tent city.
Right.
Or you find some way to get rich.
Right.
No, like, the line is so small.
So small.
And he just fell on one side of it.
Right.
Like, if he had no money, he'd just be stealing popcorn from movie theaters.
Right.
Or, like, so waiting for them to throw it away.
I bring
every
my
night.
Own jumbo bucket, and they fill it like I've already bought it.
Right.
Yeah. He just wants to make 3 bags of microwave popcorn at once. So he is divorced.
No.
His ex-wife, though, is now his personal assistant.
Really?
Yes. And she just like runs his, runs his life. Oh, by the way, he is a 6-year-old. His girlfriend is a 28-year-old Instagram model. So like there are a lot of things where like, you can see how he came to the conclusion that he was a master of persuasion.
Yeah. My ex-wife is my assistant.
Right.
I got a thotty Instagram model.
Some people just respond differently to verbal abuse, but or you're a master of persuasion, one or the other.
Right.
But in 2005, he suddenly lost the ability to talk with other people. He was making $1 million annually from public speaking, and in 2005, he just wasn't able to speak to people. It's called voice dystonia. It's a mysterious condition nobody really understands.
I thought it was called karma.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He could still speak normally to himself and to his cat, and he could even sing and recite memorized poems, but he could no longer have conversations. And he's like, I think that's what led to the end of my marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll do it, too.
Yeah. And doctors are like, it might be a mental condition. We're not sure. But anyways, so this dude is now like this men's rights. He has a signed copy of The Game in his office. The reporter notes. But
shout out to Neil Strauss.
So he has become this sort of MAGA figurehead.
Ugh.
And in the aftermath of Donald Trump's war of words with Jay-Z, I'll give you 2 guesses on which side he took. Actually, that's probably too many guesses.
Well, you already said
only
3.
2 sides. So he took Trump's side, and he turned Trump's tweet at Jay-Z into a, like, I guess what he considered to be a rap.
The POTUS
like,
rap.
Yeah, the POTUS rap. So he his sense of rap is very similar to, like, if you have a elderly white relative who ever said to you, oh, rap is easy. Watch. Poof, poof. I went to the store.
And I'm here to say. Oh, here to say always comes
here. Here to say.
In the USA.
Right, in the USA. And then
I'm the
they
biggest
cross
fucking
their arms
in the
like
USA.
In an exaggerated way.
That was too good.
Thank you. Wait, that's my rap voice. That's for the Spotify ads.
But then he came out and asked different MAGA folks to rap the president's tweet. And, and we actually have some audio of that
crazy,
for you,
Daniel. He says his tweet was, record yourselves doing the hashtag POTUS rap and tweet it to me. And then he just – so what he did was just take that tweet to Jay-Z. Somebody please inform Jay-Z that because of my policies, black unemployment has just been reported – to be at the lowest rate ever recorded.
Right.
And that's his genius, is he broke that tweet into stanzas.
Mm.
And let the people bless the mic and ether hove. So peep this shit.
Yeah.
Very long intro.
Yeah. There's also a dog's jingling collar in the background.
Somebody please tell Jay-Z that because of my policies, black unemployment has just been reported at the lowest rate ever recorded.
Go Trump!
Woo! Somebody please inform Jay-Z that because of my policies,
black
unemployment has just been reported as the lowest rate ever recorded.
Somebody please inform Jay-Z that because of my policies, black unemployment is just reported to be the lowest rate ever recorded.
Also, one thing we have to notice is in these videos,
a lot of appropriation.
Everybody is rocking the tilted hat
tilted
to the side.
Yep.
In the true uniform of how black people wear hats.
Right.
Just take the brim and put it to like 45-degree angle
from
the middle of your face, and you're now a rapper.
Yep. Right.
Or you put your hood on, and everyone has aviator sunglasses for whatever reason.
Well, no,
indoors.
So the aviators are just like, that is their
uniform. The style.
They cannot take their aviator sunglasses off.
Like, they're like Cyclops.
Yeah.
They'll start seeing colors.
Right. Exactly.
They'll start seeing humanity.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's happening, dope. You guys.
I'm just glad that, you know, that he's really bringing out the rappers from his base, because we saw after the Eminem fiasco, we saw a couple real jokey rappers come try and take the stage.
Oh, right.
And that was a disaster. So please keep this going. I mean, yeah, yes. this is what I need.
I think all MAGA people should just fight back against any criticism of
through
Trump
rap. And,
through rap.
Yeah.
Because they've got a gift. They are on that beat.
Use the medium against them.
Right.
Use the weapon against them.
Because you guys are just as good at it as any of them, you know? It's easy, and as you guys have proven. So keep doing it. Keep doing it.
I will not be doing it.
No?
Oh.
No.
I am not a Trump supporter.
My name is DVK, and I'm here to state
that
I'm trying to make
rap,
America great again.
Oh, not that part. I wouldn't say that. No. No.
All right. Let's move on to a quick Mengazi update. So... we did want to talk about HRC, Hillary Rodham Clinton's campaign manager.
Yeah, so basically her ex-campaign manager, Patty Solis Doyle, you know, last week was talking about how one of these guys who was working as a senior advisor, his name was Burns Strider. That's not a wrestler's name.
Dope name.
That's a great name.
The campaign manager had heard from an aide that he had basically been constantly harassing her. So she has a zero tolerance policy, and she was like, yo, okay, let's can this fucking dude. And, she was basically quote unquote overruled by Hillary, to be like, no, we're keeping him on. And that was kind of, this was back in 2008.
Right.
So, and you know, she does say that she does kind of understand that it's a difficult decision to axe like a high profile person in the midst of a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, this is, it's a fucking very odd situation. It's not something you possibly would expect from Hillary. But what's interesting is that she tweeted after like the news broke and said, quote, a story appeared today about something that happened in 2008. I was dismayed when it occurred, but was heartened the young woman came forward, was heard, and had her concerns taken seriously and addressed. I called her today to tell her how proud I am of her and to make sure she knows what all women should. We deserve to be heard. So I don't know. That's weird that to say that, you know,
yeah. 10 years late. Right?
Yeah, they said that she came forward, was heard, and her concerns were taken seriously and addressed, because when she came forward with her concerns, I don't think they were seriously addressed.
Yeah, I think this is the difference between hearing and action.
Right.
I've heard your concerns, but it's still time to go to bed.
Right. Yeah, that's the problem. And this dude, I guess, had multiple sort of cases of mistreating people and just wasn't a great person to work around. And he was brought back in 2012, right? Or 2016.
Yeah, but he was like running like independent of the campaign, but supporting it.
Right.
Which is what you do when you know somebody bothers
you. Yeah,
they're
people. Like, hey, I can't have you in the same
building.
You're
on the island. We're going to put you on.
I'll put you on the list,
but
you don't have a plus one.
Right.
Exactly.
But yeah, this kind of shows what happens when you're in the middle of a race, right? Like, you got to get your by any means on, because you know, Hillary was also, you know, had heard about Harvey Weinstein's money or mm-hmm. whatever, and knew kind of sort of had definitely heard things about him. But when you're trying to get, you know, win these races, like Solis says, it's not like an easy call, because I guess, man, when you're in the midst of a campaign, like it's God, you can be pretty myopic, I guess, in like what your focus is and what you'll do to get there.
You would know better than me, but I mean, how hard would that be at that point when you're?
I just
be like, get rid of somebody. Not that it shouldn't be done. I'm just saying.
It's easy to do it. It's just that it's a high profile person. It would just cause a distraction. It's about the optics of it. It's not about like the day to day of the campaign. It's more like you never want to see someone's like, oh shit, she had
to
kick somebody else
this close to the,
And I mean, I don't know how that would have read back in 2008, but you know.
Can you also just replace him quietly or say that he chose to take a different job or something like that?
You have reporters all day, every day.
Yeah.
So if somebody's not there, they realize,
like, hey, where's he at?
Yeah.
Where's Strider Burns?
So with a name like that, you don't just
Do you think he introduces himself as Knight Strider?
He should. Yeah.
Maybe.
That is a fire AKA for Strider Burns that mm-hmm. he should not let go to waste.
Please holler at Daniel Van Kirk on Twitter.
Sure. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more Mengazi. And we're back. So, yeah, we wanted to move on to another sort of fundraising campaign related Benghazi.
Yeah.
So, as we've mentioned before, Steve Wynn, casino magnate, has caught a couple cases with people saying that he, you know, harassed masseuses and, you know, beauty technicians at his casino. And, you know, it was like a thing where when he booked a massage with you, women would like come down with illnesses because mm-hmm. they were so stressed out about having to have sex with their gross
raped.
Old boss. And yeah, there were instances where he chased them around the office. They were like hiding in closets and shit.
Bathrooms, and they would like yeah. make up appointments for each other yeah, and right. like get them out of the office.
Yeah. So just all around nightmare of a human being. Many allegations against him. Seems like it was, you know, a pattern of behavior. He also happened to be the finance secretary.
Yeah, the finance chair for the RNC.
The finance chair for the RNC. And, you know, we've talked before about how the Democrats gave back money that Weinstein had contributed to various Democratic races. And this was because the Republicans were like, yo, you better do that because that's fucked up that you were
taking money from a sex crim.
Right. And, I mean, there are a lot of allegations that, you know, people had spoken to Hillary Clinton. So again, another not so great look for HRC, just kind of knowing about him being a awful human being and still taking his money. So that's not great. The Democrats gave, I think, most of his money back to charities. And so now what are the Republicans going to do with the money raised by Steve Wynn?
Logic would suggest that they would give the money back. Or mm-hmm. to give the money away because, you know, they leaned on the Democrats to give their money back. So right. that's just in the name of all that is fair. That is what they're doing, right?
Right.
Great.
Oh, wait. No. See, it says here that they're actually going to wait to see what their investigation concludes.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know how women are.
Yeah.
Am I right, guys?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to, you know, because you can't trust the claims of multiple people.
We believe women, yeah, except for when they're fucking up our money.
I think it was upwards of 100 to 150 women.
Right.
Right.
None
Over
of which
decades.
Reached out to the New York Times. The New
right.
York Times
right.
reached out to all of them.
Right.
Exactly.
But, yep. yeah, you're probably, you know what? That to me, that's not a pattern.
Right. They just drummed up all this right. fuckery. Yeah, but it's crazy. So Mitt Romney's niece, who's like in a, I think she's the chair. She was basically saying that, the difference was that Steve Wynn denied the allegations, unlike Harvey Weinstein. So that's why they're waiting
Which was
for
the same thing they said against Trump versus Franklin. Mm-hmm. Franken.
Yeah,
right.
exactly. So they're using that to basically say he should be allowed due process, end quote. And if he has found any of any wrongdoing, we'll absolutely return 100% of that money.
Mm.
But we're going to let due process take place.
Mm.
So
that's garbage.
They must not be doing well.
Do you guys remember in 1994 when Steve Wynn's daughter faked her own kidnapping?
No. That
yeah.
happened?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was like right around Thanksgiving. She got kidnapped and was being held for ransom. They ended up finding out she was part of it.
Big Lebowski style?
She was just another woman trying to get away from that motherfucker.
Exactly.
Sent her own toe, too.
Yeah. You know, Thanksgiving can be awkward with the family. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do
mm-hmm.
when your dad is Steve Wynn?
When your dad literally looks as evil as he does.
Yep. You invite your friends over and they refuse to come out of the bathroom the
when
whole time?
When he looks like he's wearing a different rich old man as a mask. you're gonna, so other Benghazi updates. Nicole Eggert went on Megyn Kelly's show. Nicole Eggert was the child from Charles in Charge who, you know, alleges that Scott Baio had been sexually abusing her throughout the course of the run of that show. You know, he still adamantly denies this and is like, go to the police if you think this is claim this happened. So, you know, those are the different sides. One thing I didn't know is apparently there is another child actor from that show who told Megyn Kelly he stands by his now deleted tweet that read, for 30 years, I've held in the embarrassment and shame of being abused daily on the set of Charles in Charge. I had to watch other children be abused as well. Then Polinsky told Kelly he was not referring to sexual abuse at the hands of Baio, but that in regard to Eggert's claims, he said he witnessed inappropriate cuddling between the pair on set. So that
doesn't
look good.
What the fuck was going on in that
Scott
set
Baio,
where if you're like just the gaffer and you're like looking at the lead, like cuddling on a teenage
girl. Somebody else should have been in charge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So blah, 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 you are canceled.
And
Oh, shit.
I forgot.
Bob blah, blah's law blog. He should have read his own law blog, fam.
From Arrested Development.
Yeah.
So for people who are just like, didn't see that show and are just like, what the fuck is this guy saying?
Bob blah, blah's law blog?
So let's move on to what's going on down in Washington, D.C. with the FBI.
Mm.
Andrew McCabe, deputy director of the FBI. So does that put him right below Rosenstein?
Below Chris Wray.
Chris Wray. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he was going to leave in March because that's when he was planning to retire anyways. But the thing that people like to do if they're leaving a company, he stacked up all his vacation and was like, I'm going to leave now and you guys can keep paying me until I leave.
Which is also almost what every military person does as well.
Right.
Because you use, like, I have friends who just got done. They, like, their last day of active was November 8th or something like that, but they were done on like the 22nd of December, but they were, for all intents and purposes, they were done.
Right.
Yeah.
But this just looked a little weird because he was sort of the target of a bunch of the Trump and Trump supporter backlash against the investigation and, you know, the FBI.
Deep state.
Deep state. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, he was. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so people are wondering, like, are the Trump people onto something? Was he actually a deep state person? And Miles, so kind of ran through this for us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just to clarify, like, he didn't say, I'm going to take up all my vacation days. That's what they're using to justify him leaving the job right now.
Right.
Which is weird because people thought he was going to leave in March.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, it depends on how you look at it. Some people are like in full on panic because they're saying he was pushed out. Or whatever, which is possible that clearly, I don't know, it doesn't seem like he was saying.
Or he just might have said, fuck it.
Well, yeah, I think some people seem to believe is that it's possible that the FBI may have said, look, like, why don't we get you out now? Because you're being used like a lightning rod for Trump and the GOP to be like, Andrew McCabe, you know, all this and the, like all these attacks on the FBI, like a lot of it's going through Andrew McCabe.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with like the Nunes memo, clearly that's another thing. So they voted to release the memo, which, you know, Trump has 5 days to decide if he wants to alter anything, block it, or just fully release it.
Right.
Chances are he'll probably release it. But
because it's a puff piece for him.
Right. Well, the Department of Justice is like, do not do this. This is damaging. This will put our national security at risk by like revealing certain things.
But
like,
it's going to make him seem good.
Yeah. So with him, the Nunes memo is most likely going to, like, you know, McCabe was likely to probably be in there too. But some people are looking at it as like, maybe this is a way for the FBI to get McCabe out of the way so he's no longer a distraction. And they can just kind of keep this ball moving.
Right.
The more sinister thing is the FBI is like in cahoots and they kicked him out because like there's just a purge happening under Trump to get everybody out, which is also very believable because if you look at it, most of the people that worked with James Comey are no longer working at the FBI or like in positions that are like no-show jobs.
Right.
So with the Nunes memo, like one of the main things is like, you know, they're going to talk about Rod Rosenstein and that he authorized the FISA surveillance on Carter Page. And they're going to say, like, oh, that was, you know, how that's criminal. He's a criminal. He's doing crims.
This is what the memo supposedly says.
Yeah, like, that's one of the main points is, like, about the surveillance, especially on someone like Carter Page. But let's not kid ourselves because Carter Page was literally caught up in a Russian spy ring, like, years ago.
Right.
Like, he met Russian dudes.
Warranted.
Like, hey, man, why don't you slide me some information on the energy markets and, like, the energy industry and blah, blah, blah. And he was, like helping them out.
Right.
So they had reason to believe that, like, yo, this guy is already known to Russians as being, like, dumb as fuck and, like, cooperating. So, yeah, fucking we'll keep monitoring the situation.
Because it was a known fact that both sides agree on that the Russians were trying to affect the election.
That they interfered, and that's why we have sanctions. That's why
they are not being affected.
Exactly.
Literally only 5 people voted against those sanctions. Like, across party lines, it was something like 80%, 90% or something like that said, yes, they obviously did this. We should put in sanctions. And the day they're supposed to happen, Trump was like,
nah,
I'm not doing it.
Fine. Which is already what?
And there's people say that that is like the path of law.
Completely fucking up. Like,
our
other branches of government have voted for this legislation, these sanctions to go through, and he's literally just ignoring it. So that is a fucking problem.
Right.
Because normally when you have like a veto proof majority and something like that, we're going to do that.
Right.
But so clearly, that stinks like shit. So, yes. And now that Andrew McCabe is out, we're starting to see that, okay, maybe the FBI clearly is getting rid of all these like Comeyite people. Right. Not that they're Comeyites or whatever, but they're all the people that are basically material witnesses into the obstruction who, like, a lot of these people, the same people James Comey said when he testified earlier in, or of last year that he told about, like, Trump's, like, vibe and asking him to squash the Flynn mm-hmm. investigation and stuff like that. So all those people are pretty much right. out now. But Chris Wray, he's also putting in, like, some heavy people, like Dana Bente, who is, like, a former prosecutor. His office in Virginia is where a lot of the subpoenas that Mueller was using, like, for Paul Manafort, for Mike Flynn, they've all been coming out of his office. And so this is the guy who's been working with Robert Mueller. Chris Wray is like, okay, now you're going to be legal counsel. So it's not like he's bringing in, like, hacks. Right. You know what I mean? Like, these are people who also kind of have an axe to grind.
Right.
Not that they have an axe to grind, but they're not – these aren't just pushover guys. These are people right. who definitely stand for the rule of law.
Right. So from one perspective, you know, Trump fired Comey, and all the people that Comey had working with him at the time with the FBI are now being replaced. So it could look like, okay, well, that just worked out for Trump. On the other hand, the people who have replaced them are also people who are involved in the investigation and have proven themselves not to be, you know, pushovers and, like, in the bag for Trump.
But isn't the thing that the Nunes memo is essentially like an op-ed? Like, it's not even yes. that thorough. Like,
it's cherry-picked information.
And the Democrats have their own memo as well.
But they won't let them – they don't want to let people see that.
Right. So that's – but that's not being released.
Right. Right.
They won't even vote on whether yeah. or not they want to release. They're
so the memo
no.
is a separate thing from McKay. I mean, it's not separate. But, yeah, let's talk about the memo because there's – you know, you might have seen release the memo trending. This has become a big right-wing cause celeb. So Devin Nunes, who – this is the guy who recused himself from the Intelligence Committee
yes.
investigation, mm-hmm. right? And he did that because at the time he was basically sharing information from the Intelligence Committee, like stuff that was not supposed to be shared and that was supposed to be confidential. He got out of a car in the middle of D.C., was just like, I got to go, and, like, told the person to stop the car, got out of one car, got into another car like he was in a fucking spy movie, and went immediately to the White House to just brief people on shit that he knew from the Senate Intelligence Committee. So it was like, this guy's clearly compromised.
Well, and also, like, he used information he got from the White House to present to the White House.
Right.
Like, just to create a story.
Right.
To be like, look what I've got. And it's like, motherfucker, that came from the White House. Like, this is all transparent theatrics.
Right. Right. So somehow this guy who's supposed to have recused himself is now – he put together this memo based on, you know, his opinion of the investigation, claiming that, you know, that Trump is being treated unfairly. Right.
Well, yeah, it's trying to essentially lay out the fact that there's corruption in the FBI, that they're overstepping their power, that Rod Rosenstein is, like, you know, acting out of line by because of this, that, and the other to deal with Carter Page, et cetera. So really, I mean, if you boil it down, what this memo is doing is essentially trying to create a pretext to fire Rod Rosenstein. Because if they can, you know, create the narrative that, like, oh, God, like, Rod Rosenstein, he's fucking up. Like, yeah,
right.
it would make sense for Trump to fire him. That is the first domino that needs to fall so he can put someone in his place to fire Robert Mueller.
Right.
Because Robert Mueller reports directly to Rod Rosenstein. So that's what stinks like shit about this whole thing, is that if that happens, that's really the first Saturday Night Massacre domino to go down, because that's – I would be blown away if he finds a reason to fire Rod Rosenstein and whoever replaces him doesn't fire Robert Mueller.
Can I ask you guys a bigger question, bigger mm-hmm. picture question?
Yeah.
So much gets compared back to, like, Watergate, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But in that time of our country, I wasn't there, but everything that I've learned from it, it's that it got to a point where the no matter what aisle you were on or what you voted for, you voted for Nixon or you didn't, it got to a point where you were like, he's got to go.
Yeah.
This is like the country was like, this isn't okay.
Right.
So to me, that's the big difference, because all of this stuff, a Saturday Night Massacre where everybody who should be doing the right thing gets fired and everything gets pulled out. Like, will it even matter if so much of this country doesn't care?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that there just isn't outrage. Like, I say, people always like, well, how do things change? But Vietnam changed, really. Like, we really started, the Pentagon Papers obviously really helped. But what that really made people do is your World War II veteran and your Korean War veterans were like, well, wait a sec.
I'm against this too. And it wasn't just like long-haired kids anymore, like yelling this. It was people who watch their kids come home and either not come home at all or come home and be like, we're over there for no reason. And then that reached a greater populace where people are like, this war is bad. And then once senators and congressmen and women started feeling like, oh, we're not going to be reelected, they thought, we really do need to get out of this war. We need to really, this president needs to be changed for what has happened. To me, that's the difference. Like, what's going to happen in this country when you do have a quote unquote smoking gun, but nobody cares that it went off?
I don't know if that nobody cares, right?
I know, but I mean, enough to feel like it's not acceptable. We've learned so much in this presidency that everything we thought were rules for the way somebody had to behave were really just implied suggestions. And somebody could just stop doing them, and we found out where we are right now. Right. People are like, yeah, I don't care that
Clearly, tipping point will be if Robert Mueller is fired. That's when people need to show the fuck up.
I actually don't know if it will be because – so that's the thing. Like, I've been talking about this podcast,
to me, that's,
slow burn, that where it takes you back to what Watergate was like at the time. And, yeah, the Saturday Night Massacre, like, tipped everybody – to be like, oh, okay, so he's clearly the bad guy.
Right.
But they didn't have Fox News. That's the thing that I keep coming back to, right, is there wasn't a propaganda wing that was consistently putting out, you know,
just lies.
Essentially lies and a op-ed of what, you know, the president wants people to believe. And so I genuinely don't know if there is a smoking gun, if people will give a shit enough to...
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm afraid of. That's what I'm really...
I think that's why people need to talk about that enough to realize that if that happens, we're steps away from full-on, you know, being, like, under the rule of some despotic government.
Right. But there were points early in the Watergate investigation, and, you know, I thought Watergate, like, there was a break-in, like, Woodward and Bernstein started, like, nailing the story, and, like, it was just a big wave, and it overtook the country. There were a lot of different points at which people like didn't give enough of a shit, and then there was this big Senate committee where, you know, different people were interviewed, and it was like the OJ trial of its time, and everybody was like watching it, and that started tipping people's opinion. And then
that crescendo of like Woodward and Bernstein as they were building, and people weren't paying attention, and then started to over time, like you just mentioned, any crescendo like that as it builds now, what you didn't have then was this behemoth of this media that reached millions and millions of people, kicking the chair out from under it before it could really get people's attention and build. That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with this memo is, like, can we look at this memo as in and of itself being a form of obstruction? Because it's trying to discredit the very intelligence community that is trying to look out for national security and, you know, completely change the conversation.
And it's either directly or
it's
impliedly
a malicious distraction at best.
Right.
And it's straight up obstruction at worst.
Right.
Because it's completely derailing the conversation.
And the point of doing it, putting it together, and then putting it out is either directed by or implied from the White House to do this.
Absolutely.
So that's even –
because Devin Nunes is his little –
right.
He carries the water for him.
Right. So, I mean, and there were people on the Republican side up until the end who were still supporting Nixon.
Oof.
Up until, like, the
really?
Very
end. You don't hear about them much.
Like, today's, I think, the last episode of Slow Burn, and they're talking about these town halls that Republican senators were having or Democratic senators were having in the South, where they would meet with these Southern people, and the Southern people were like, we don't give a shit about Watergate. Like, just Nixon do his job. And it was like 50-50 split. And then the transcripts of all the tapes Nixon had been keeping of his just like meetings in his office broke, and that was like when everyone was like, oh shit. Well, he had like the smoking the smoking gun in Watergate was like the smokingest of guns.
Yeah.
It was like he was caught holding it and then like recording himself committing the murder. Like it was just you really couldn't have found a more guilty motherfucker than Nixon.
That's why people just need to look at it like this. Everything that the GOP has been doing, from whether it's the House Intelligence Committee to people like Chuck Grassley to the president himself, they're clearly acting in this way because they have shit to hide, right? There's no other way to look at that. And if you can accept that, and you can accept the fact that through the overwhelming amount of congressmen that have voted for the sanctions, that we clearly do acknowledge that Russia did interfere with our
right. That's
election.
What I've said to like people in my family. I'm like, and they're not fervent Trump supporters, but I've said, like, if you believe everything that they tell you, you just believe, like, they didn't do anything wrong, they aren't bad people, da-da-da-da-da-da. We're like, okay, whatever. But at some point, when do you start saying, but why do they keep lying about whether or not they met with somebody? Like, why does every person, cause you end up realizing they did lie about it. Oh, I forgot. I didn't recall. Yeah. Da, da, da. And now I recall this. Like, whether you fall on the side of like, oh, I don't think they had bad intentions or I think they're good people. Forget that for a second. Just how many times will it happen before you go, yeah, but why do they keep lying about it if they didn't do anything wrong? And I don't think they did anything wrong. Like, I do personally. But if that's your attitude, I just, like, how much does that need to happen before you're like, yeah, that doesn't, why would you keep lying?
I mean, we're just in
a
very interesting time right now. So, exactly. Guys, let's just stay tuned.
That was actually one interesting thing from the Slow Burn podcast is he went back and talked to people who were reporters at the time and, like, Dick Cavett and, like, these people who were in the media at the time. And they, like, look back on that as the peak of their lives, like Watergate, because it was just so exciting and so interesting, which hopefully
– Well, just I the just sequel feel like I'm is lit.
To, right. The sequel is lit, but I feel like I'm just going to fucking exhale the second it's over. Hopefully.
Yeah, me
hopefully
too.
I
We're all waiting
we
to
won't
exhale.
All be in prison.
My brother.
There was a really great Atlantic article, Miles, that you read about Paul Manafort. I don't know if we're going to have time to
Yeah, we can talk about that tomorrow.
In as much detail, but
It's juicy. Yeah, guys, read it. Required reading for tomorrow's lesson. Yes. Read that article on The Atlantic about Paul Manafort because you realize this dude is as shady as you think he is.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And super producer Anna Hosnier says that she doesn't recommend reading that article. So if you
because
want to take her,
it's
disheartening. It's very upsetting.
If you ever want to just whisper to yourself, this motherfucker, like 100 times
the whole time, and just and literally be the SMH meme,
right? Yeah, yeah.
Shaking your head. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about it either way tomorrow. There are some prop bets on the State of the Union going on tonight. I think we're all looking forward to that. It's going to be interesting to just read Melania's body language. This is going to be our first public appearance since the Stormy Daniels story broke. Daniel, where does that fall in terms of like stories we should or shouldn't give a shit about? The president having an affair with
that's
a porn
star. That's the problem. We talked earlier. You said Republicans said, oh, you got to give that money back. And now it's on them, right? Well, what was it, 23 years ago, 22 years ago, the Republicans were like, he's infidelity has no place in the White House.
Right, right.
I understand that those actions were as he was in office, but they also cited the ones before. So now, but my point is, if you had a personal feeling against him, the allegations of Bill Clinton and him cheating on his wife, where's your personal feeling now on that?
Right.
But they don't. No,
well, then I
got to
give up my power. No, I got
to
give my power.
Yeah. This guy doesn't deserve for me to remember his name, so I don't care that I do not. Some like big religious leader basically was like, yeah, well, he literally was quoted as saying, we're giving him a mulligan on this.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys covered it.
But he's a changed man.
And on what grounds? You know what I say really quick to every person who voted on a Christian stance that is their issue vote of whether or not they vote for a person, how hardcore Christian they are, is – if you really voted on that the Bible is in your car, by your bed, in your hand, you got a wallet Bible, all you want religion in your White House, okay? And you have a right to believe that, that's fine. My point is, if you really want that more than anything else, you want Trump gone more than anybody because you're going to get it in Pence. You should want Trump to be impeached because you will get the president you lied to yourself that you were voting for in Mike Pence. I don't understand. Like, you should want that guy to be your president. He really is all the things you lied to yourself about. You saying that guy in that interview was like, give him a mulligan, was like, well, I literally think he said, I heard he became a born again Christian in 2012.
I mean, it doesn't matter because when you really look at it, and we were kind of going to broach this subject.
We'll probably do a deep dive on
it. But just how basically like it makes sense, right? Because as it stands right now, this like evangelical Christianity stands for a kind of conservative value, which is really just patriarchy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just because it's diametrically opposed to LGBT rights. It's diametrically opposed to women's rights in the form of being pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
That is what they're banking on. They're like male sexual license is like a thing that they covet. They're like, or not covet, but they hold that up and they're saying, there's nothing wrong with this.
They're
this
pro Mad Men era.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's why it's like, oh no, it gets a mulligan because that's really what we're talking about. It's like chivalry in exchange for submission. As I forget which writer wrote in the New York Times, but we'll get into this.
But all this stuff where you're like, will it matter? Like, he literally just was like, what did Pence say that this is baseless?
Right.
And that was good enough for, no pun intended, for their base.
Right.
Like, that was good enough to be like, yeah, that is baseless. When you're like, do you understand how baseless works?
Right.
That means literally, like, there's nothing. Well, there's something. You're just disagreeing with mm-hmm. it.
Right.
But that's all they needed to do. You just come out and go, no, that's not even, that doesn't even exist.
Well, yeah, because
that
now,
issue doesn't even, Stormy Daniels isn't even a real person.
Right.
And you're like, oh, okay, good enough
Never
for me.
Yep,
good
yep.
enough for me.
Yeah.
Like, that's, so that's what's crazy to me about it, is it is kind of another thing that ended up not mattering at all.
Well, I just want to see how he paid for that money that he paid her off with.
That's what I do too. Find that.
Yeah, I just want to see that because, like, that's.
It's like wild Amazon gift cards.
Like, just everybody who knows him. There's a financial reporter who I just heard interviewed who has been kind of keeping an eye on him for years, like decades, and is just like, there's no way that he did that legally.
But
like,
don't
everything
you,
he does right, is illegal.
But don't you wish sometimes that it was your mom or your dad that was a congressperson or a senator that you could just. In the den at 10:30 at night, you're home for the holidays. Before you go to bed or they go to bed, you go, hey, mom, straight up, just me and you. If you end up finding out that it is on paper Trump committed a crime, are you really going to go after him?
Mm-hmm.
And don't you wish you knew the answer to that question for these people?
Right.
That if it's really there, you know, you've been able to be like, that's suggested, that's hearsay, that's implied. But when it's really there, Republican Congress, Senate, are you really going to go after them?
Right.
Are you? Like, I wish I could just, on a personal, and they knew that I won't repeat it. I'm not going to go out. That's my mom. That's my, I'm not my dad. I'm not going right. to betray their trust. But I would just be able to look them in the eye and be like, when it comes down to it.
Will you do it?
Are you going to pick the blade up or fall on it?
Right.
And I just wish we could know that answer.
I think.
And I'm
I
afraid
think
of it.
It's all opportunism. And yeah. Like, yeah. I don't think most of them believe that. Global warming is fake.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you're selling the planet out for like political convenience, like shit, man. Like, yeah. I feel like they're...
You're not going to worry about some dude cheating right. in an election.
Miles, what's the most intriguing prop bet?
Whoa,
for the
segue.
Of the Union tonight?
Okay, let's see. Oh, who does he mention first? Mexico, North Korea, China, or Russia?
Oh, I don't think he says the word Russia.
Ooh, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, that has to be long on.
Does he mention unemployment? Yes or no? Does he mention NAFTA? Does he mention tax cuts? Of course. Let's see. They say length over under on the speech.
On the length?
Yep.
How, what are they at? Because – so I feel like this could be a record breaker because
– In terms of shortness?
No.
They've said it
because
at 60,
he loves to hear himself.
60 and one half minutes. 60.5
minutes. I go over.
I go under.
Strong over. All right.
Depends on if he does any jazz.
Yeah.
If he improvises and goes off teleprompter and starts doing Trump jazz when he talks that
really?
Real shit.
I'd be surprised if he goes past 48.
Wow.
Ooh, so you're going to take the under?
Wow.
Maybe he'll end right at 45-45.
Okay.
Because you know that would be some shit he would want to tell
And like,
him.
Did you also notice?
Yeah.
I wanted 45 minutes, yeah. B.
44-44, just to fuck with Jay-Z. all right. Yeah, those are intriguing. And then we wanted to just do a quick check-in with Google Trends. This is something we've done in the past that I think it's just a good way to like just put a finger in the water of like, what are people thinking about right now at this moment? So Gianni Versace, people have been Googling for the past couple weeks because the newest, well, what's
American
that show
crime?
Called? American Crime Story. Yeah.
Yep.
Is out there. And apparently I haven't seen it, but people who have watched it say the second screen experience is almost more fun than watching the show is because like it brings up questions and then you go Google that and like fall down a rabbit hole of research.
Shit.
So, that makes me definitely interested in watching it. Chief Wahoo is, a big one over the past couple days.
Yeah.
The Cleveland Indians, mascot. I believe we actually have an interview. So NPR this morning edition, one of their reporters was hanging around the Indians ballpark, and asking people, you know, what they think of Chief Wahoo.
Because, yeah, they're starting in 2019, he will no longer be on any of the uniforms.
Right.
Because they're
right.
like, oh, we've realized that it's racist.
And for non-sports fans, it's a cartoon of a
racist caricature.
Right. It's like a bright red colored cartoon with like a big, you know, racist looking.
So let's
smile.
Hear from the people of Cleveland what they think.
At the nearby Winking Lizard Saloon, Benita Miser
there.
Thinks there's nothing wrong with the Cleveland logo. She proudly wears her Wahoo earrings, jackets, and t-shirts without a second thought.
It was just always been our symbol, just like bears, cats, dogs, anything else. I never really
all animals,
any
not
other way.
Humans.
Yep, always been our symbol. That's their water fountain. This is our water fountain. It's always
the
been
problem?
Like that. I don't understand.
Yeah.
What now? They got to get married?
Bears, cats, dogs,
trash
what
people,
the
mutt, Mud goblins, you know.
Come on. Yeah, somebody, I feel like that's NPR being unfair to the city of Cleveland.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I, so,
I'm sure there's
some
other people.
Like, I have
that's a good
a
point.
Few very good friends from Cleveland. They're
I
some of the
well.
Smartest people I know. Like, I've never met a bad person from Cleveland.
Yeah.
Like, and what's funny I just too- did on the air just now, but yeah, apparently.
Having been at World Series Game 6, 2016, things mm-hmm. worked out for my Cubs. Same thing for me. Shout out to the Flynns. Great family that's out there. But yeah, that's a great point. I don't like when people cherry pick their... People
right.
always say that. Yeah. Remember the jaywalking or like Kimmel will like ask about people who are dead. Like, and people are like, I can't believe people are stupid. I'm like, yeah, well, they showed you seven, but they might have asked 700
yeah,
people.
Right. We used to work right on Hollywood Boulevard and you couldn't walk by with someone from Kimmel being like, hey, can we talk to you about whatever the fuck it is?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they have a shotgun approach to just getting as many people on camera and
until you get the answer
to,
you
yeah.
want.
And to be fair to NPR, apparently this was from a whole, like, 2-minute report, and we picked the dumbest response.
So we're the
because we're a comedy show. yeah. So,
but hey, we acknowledge that that is an isolated
yeah,
answer.
Sure.
But what's funny, what's kind of wild about this whole thing is that the only reason they're ditching the logo is because Major League Baseball dangled the fucking All-Star game in front of them.
Right.
Mm.
So not for the right reasons, and they will still sell merchandise with the racist caricature.
Yeah, just
on
not
it.
On field.
Couple,
so they can still profit off it.
Two Marvel movies that are trending for different reasons. Black Panther just had its premiere. It's getting a lot of positive buzz
yeah,
from the people
that.
Who were there.
I'm lying to people.
Our former guest, Dave Schilling, was like, everybody just so,
calm down.
He's like, it's
second.
Probably the third best Marvel movie.
That's
but
pretty
like,
good, though.
Yeah, that's still, he's really? Like, is it a great movie?
Yes.
Yes. Is it the greatest thing ever put on film? You know, not really.
What it's, would that be, third best? Right. That'd be behind Logan and Guardians Volume 1?
Oh yeah,
well, depends on where you stand.
Yeah,
I know. Or Spider-Man 2 is
or
an
Thor.
Amazing film. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Or I really
see. I'll
liked
take
the first
best.
Avengers. I really liked the last Thor.
Look, I don't care. I'm gonna see it, and then
yeah,
we can
yeah.
fucking talk about
sure.
it. Not the handful of people who are like just getting so turned up. Like, I'm there. I had mad FOMO though.
Ant-Man and the Wasp trailer just dropped, and that's I think near the top of people's Google searches at this moment. I couldn't be less interested in a movie. but you know, I love Paul Rudd, so I see where people are coming from. And a couple nude photo shoots are driving people crazy because it's the internet. Gigi and Bella Hadid did a weird nude holding each other incestuous photo shoot for Vogue, and then Kim Kardashian was just putting out straight thirst traps on Instagram yesterday for who knows why. Kanye is in Germany.
Yeah, rocking so, her quote Bo Derek braids.
Yeah,
nice. Yeah, credit Bo Derek for African braids, but that's cool.
And the Australian Open just ended, and Roger Federer is the GOAT.
Man, that's like fucking crediting Taco Bell with fucking Mexican food. Like the Bo Derek braids.
I'm like, I thought you were saying out. Roger Federer.
I'm
just like, I'm
yeah.
sorry.
Like,
whoa,
I'm just,
you
just
are
thinking
hot
about
on
that.
RF.
Like, these Bo Derek braids. Fuck out of here.
The Bo Derek braids. Yeah, that's fair. That is.
It's like, no, Taco Bell burrito.
That's where nachos
right.
came from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think nachos were invented in America, right?
That sounds like a Tex-Mex
yeah.
thing, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, for sure. Daniel, it has been a pleasure having you. Where can people find you elsewhere?
You can follow me at Daniel Van Kirk on all the social media. You can hear me every Tuesday and Friday. We do a little mini episode, but Tuesday's the full one for Dumb People Town. That is the show I co-host with Randy and Jason Sklar. Three dumb stories for funny people.
It is
hopefully.
Hilarious.
Hell yeah.
And then my podcast, Hindsight.
Yep.
Which two of the three people in this room have been on, and soon, Jack, you will be as well.
Mm.
I have people from the entertainment world come in. They bring three photos from any chapter of their life, and we just talk about the context of their life when they are taken. And lastly, I will say that I believe it's Sunday, February 25th at the Bell House in Brooklyn. We will be doing a live Dumb People Town Hall.
Oh, shit.
And I would love it for anybody who listens and wants to come out to that. It'll be a great time. It's really fun. The audience gets involved. People can bring their own dumb stories. We read them and riff with them.
Yeah.
It's just a great time.
Pull up.
So yeah. much fun. Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And you should also check out my episode and super producer Anna Hosnia's episode of Hindsight. Because, look, if you want to hear like some real shit about us, listen to these episodes because we talk about things that I would not really talk about on here.
I love
because
it. Daniel, love
I'm, let me tell you, DDK, you brought it out of me. It was like an Oprah interview. So if you want to see the sit down interview or hear it, check out Hindsight, please.
Hey, speaking of things to check out, Culture Kings, you guys. So our first sort of show that we're creating in studio here with, you know, the people who make Daily Zeitgeist, with Carl Tart, Edgar Montplaisir, and Jacques Neal we're three episodes deep. I think they've had three out when they first released it. Now we're 3 weeks in. It's so good, you guys. It keeps getting better. All just such funny dudes, and I highly recommend you guys check it out.
And they just talk shit, and it's great.
It is a lot of fun. So, go search Culture Kings and whatever you use to listen to podcasts. You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page to search Daily Zeitgeist, and we have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where you can find our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to all the sources for all the shit we talked about today. And that's going to do it for today's episode. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
Somebody please, please, please tell Jay-Z that because of me and my policies, the black unemployment has just been reported to be the lowest level that's ever been recorded. Black unemployment has just been recorded to be the lowest level.
It is the best one.
That's ever recorded.
Put your lighter away.
Man, it makes you think, though.
Yeah, then some people need to fucking figure it out.